Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm your host, Chip Flory. We're providing some coverage from Farmer Business Network, Farmer to Farmer event in Omaha. Joining us now, Ken Barbick. He is the head of policy and global government relations at FBN, Farmers Business Network. Ken, welcome to AgriTalk.
Great to be here today.
Thanks. Okay. So I think some people might be surprised that FBN has a head of policy and global government relations. Mm-hmm. What is it that you do day to day representing FBN?
Yeah, that's a great question. I've been with the company now for about a year and a half.
Okay.
And prior to that, I was at USDA. I was the head of congressional relations there while Sonny Perdue was secretary. FBN created this function with my hire about a year and a half ago. And the thinking was, you know, at the time, they needed someone that was going to be able to bring all of the different matters related to policy and government together in, you know, one function and one person. We are selling a number of products that are highly regulated. So we sell a number of generic crop protection products,
right,
seed, biologics, other things. We're in the crop insurance space. So a number of different products that we are selling have a lot of government overlap with them.
Yeah.
And then also as the network has been growing, we wanted to be thinking through also, you know, how do we represent our farmer customer as well? And how do we think through the issues of farmer profitability? And, you know, obviously there's a lot of organizations and voices in Washington, but how can we distinctly bring that to bear in that space?
That's interesting. And with the data that FBN collects on a regular basis, with ad hoc disaster payments mm-hmm. becoming more the norm than
less ad hoc.
That has to play a role in some of the efforts that you put forth in Washington, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, you see more and more programs coming out of Washington, the Climate Smart Commodity Program,
yep,
disaster programs, as you mentioned. We've got a farm bill coming up, and all of those have an impact on farmers. And, you know, as a company, we are engaging with a lot of those programs. And so we want to make sure, again, that we're doing that with the farmer in mind and then making sure we're positioned, you know, effectively.
Interesting.
As those things are coming out.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. The panel that you were part of at Farmer to Farmer mm-hmm. With Colin Peterson, Greg Abaugh, mm-hmm. I mean, just an outstanding panel mm-hmm. right there, talking about the farm bill and so on that's going to be tackled in 2023.
Yep.
It's going to be tackled. They're going to attempt to get it done. What do you think the odds are that they will get it done?
Yeah, that's a great question. First of all, on the panel, I'm really excited, you know, for both, yeah, you know, both those folks to join. I've had the opportunity to work, you know, with Colin Peterson
yep.
when he was chairman of the Ag Committee, and then, you know, Greg Abaugh when he was at USDA. We were colleagues together, both
yeah.
just, you know, great voices and thinkers on ag policy, have been around for a long time. So I'm really excited to have that, you know, even that bipartisan kind of panel session up there to talk about some of these issues. You know, in terms of the farm bill in 2023, the leaders are expressing optimism that they're going to get it done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Chairman Thompson has been talking about his desire to get a bipartisan bill done and get it done on time. You know, both Senator Stabenow and Bozeman have been talking about the same thing. You know, right now, some of the challenges, you know, that we see, you know, farm bills have not been done, you know, officially on time at the deadline,
right,
really ever. So I think you're going to have a lot of logistical challenges, you know, with the new Congress coming
yes.
in, you know, the change in majority, change in leadership at the committee on the House side. It's going to take just some time for them to get up and running in terms of, you know, structure of the committee. So I think while there's a lot of optimism being expressed, I think there are some structural things that they're going to have to work through, you know, to get that done.
Yeah, and I think that's part of the reason that the GOP is moving as quickly as they are to establish the leadership.
That's right.
In the House so that they can get the leadership of the committee set and
yep.
moving forward and start to get that agenda in place. I mean, GT wants to be running on January 3rd.
That's right.
Yeah,
yep.
No question about it.
And they're definitely taking action. And one other thing I would say
yeah.
also, you know, you mentioned ad hoc disaster. And one of the
yeah.
things we'll talk about, you know, in this panel is you've had such a a large number of programs that have been spending in farm country. So we're going to take a look at that and how that's going to interact with this farm bill debate, because you've had, you know, trade payments, you've had the COVID relief payments, you've had, you know, you have now the Climate Smart Ag commodity program, you've had ad hoc disaster programs, you have the Inflation Reduction Act that's put $20 billion into conservation. Yeah. So you have all of these different avenues of spending that have occurred over the last 5 years that are not farm bill spending.
Right.
And I think the conversation and the debate over how that is going to overlay with a, you know, likely a flat baseline in the farm bill, there's going to be a lot of work that has to go into how do we think about the safety net and whatnot in context of these other programs.
Flat baseline for the farm bill doesn't make me feel good about improving the safety net.
Yeah. Yeah, so we'll see what CBO does with the new projections, you know, coming out next year. But, you know, from what we've seen, you know, from the May 2022 numbers, there's, you know, the pie is going to be, you know, roughly what it is to think about dividing.
Speaking with Senate ranking member of the Senate Ag Committee, Senator Bozeman, earlier this week, talked about some of the CCC funding. Mm-hmm. Or the funds that have been used for some of the programs that you listed off, you know, it was the trade payments, it was the, well, the Climate Smart Farming programs. He really wants to take a close look at how USDA is using CCC funds going forward. That's got to be a spot that is going to be examined very closely, isn't it?
I think it will be. I think that, you know, the programs that were done, you know, the Trump administration were also looked at, you know, got a lot of oversight. I think that as we look at this Climate Smart Commodity Program, you know, FBN is on two of the grant awards. A lot of producer groups are. I think the key factor is going to be, are those resources going to farmers ultimately? Right. And the secretary has made it clear that that's their intention. And I think that's going to be what folks are looking at. Are farmers getting the resources? Are they having, you know, measurable and tangible impacts on some of these practices and outcomes? And that's going to determine the success of the program.
So. All right. You mentioned that Representative Thompson is going to be a new leader of the House Ag Committee. He's got experience. He's going to be able to manhandle this process, I got to believe. But with so many new members of Congress that have zero farm bill experience, the education effort that's going to have to take place before he can even get to real negotiation is going to... It's basically overwhelming, isn't it?
I mean, as you said, there's a lot of new members coming in. I mean, obviously, people look at the top line numbers of, you know, Republicans are picking up a net of, you know, a handful of seats to take the majority. But I read recently that something like a third of the total membership, between 25% and a third of the total membership, is overturning in the House with retirements and members defeated. So, to your point, there's going to be a lot of education in the House in particular, the Senate. There's going to be a lot of returning senators, particularly on the committee. But the House Ag Committee, there's going to be a lot of new members. So that's something that FBN, we're thinking about. How do we play in that education space? We have a lot of resources, a lot of data that we've put together. So we're doing that work now to think through how can we help some of these new staff members, new members, understand not just what the farm bill is, not just what some of these broad farm policy issues are, but what do farmers think about these things, and how do these policy decisions impact what's happening in their businesses?
Good.
One thing I've seen in my career, USDA and now, you know, a lot of these issues, you know, there's a lot of bipartisanship around them, but that bipartisanship goes both in terms of the understanding of the issues and sometimes also in folks who are opposed to some of the farm bill kind of considerations.
Absolutely.
You've got members, you know, both on the right and the left who kind of come together not really understanding how crucial some of these issues are. And we're going to try to do a lot of work to educate some of these new folks coming in so that they can see some of that.
Well, that's outstanding because that is an effort that is going to take time. When I talk with the commodity groups, they tell me the number one priority is don't hurt my crop insurance.
That's right. Yep.
Is that the number one priority?
You know, we'll see. I think that's right. One of the things we're going to be doing with this panel today, we're going to have a live audience poll of the farmers who are sitting there in the room to get their live take on what some of their priorities are, both in terms of the farm bill and in terms of other farm policy. So I think that's exactly right, and we'll see, you know, what the audience has to say about that this afternoon.
Do you think it's okay to ask for more than that? Why not get the improvement in the safety nets too?
Yeah, well, I think what we've seen again with the spending and these other programs, and you know, the conversation will happen this afternoon. You know, we've been doing spending through these disaster programs and through the CCC.
Yep.
Some of the decisions and issues around the budget and how things are offset in the farm bill, those conversations don't have to happen in the same way.
That's right.
When you're looking at a disaster bill. So I think the conversation needs to happen. You know, we've had this spending. There's clearly a need in farm country for these things.
Right.
As we see geopolitical uncertainty increase, the United States has had a policy of producing more than we can consume as a country, because that enables us to have national security. We have no fear of famine in this country.
Glad you said national security and not just food security.
Well, I think that's exactly right. I mean, we've seen countries that don't have access to a food supply.
Right.
You see what Sri Lanka did earlier this year and what that did to their government.
What's happening in the Netherlands?
And I think most Americans have not necessarily, you know, understood or been educated that, you know, the abundance that we have in this country and the policy that has led to that is really one of the basis of our national security. And we project that power through our exports and other opportunities too.
Outstanding. Ken, thank you so much for the conversation.
Thank
Appreciate it.
Great talking to you today.
All right, that is Ken Barbic, head of policy and global government relations at FBN. All right, when we come back on AgriTalk, Davis and I will wrap up today's coverage from Farmer to Farmer.